All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's a Way Back Wednesday, and we all are present and ready to go. If you missed it yesterday at the end of the big show, we announced that the Way Back Wednesday today would be songs from the year 1999-er. So we have all submitted lists.
Was that a niner?
A niner.
Was that Tommy Boy, or was that Black Sheep? When somebody said niner, he goes, was that a niner?
Yeah, I think that was one Black of the two. Sheep.
Was
yeah,
it?
I think so.
One week we need to do songs from like 1949. No? All right.
I would know
just
zero
the
songs
from,
from that.
Or what was that? And somebody remade that. Somebody remade that.
Yeah, I just heard this on like 90s on 9.
Yeah.
It was something, the Bunny Hop remix or something.
Yes, it was. And now watch me pull my dad's record collection out of it. That was Benny Goodman, the original. Benny Goodman.
Look at you.
In the Swing or something like that. Nick, check it. It's not going to be part of Way Back Wednesday. But
Swing Into the Oldies? Or was that what
that
it was?
That was the remix.
The remix? Okay.
Swing Into the Oldies is the remake. And the original, I believe, was Benny Goodman and his orchestra. And it's something about the swing.
You are on fire already, young man.
Dude, I'm telling you, when I was little, if you weren't up on the weekends by 9 a.m., you would be awakened to the sound of my dad's record player playing at very high levels his album collection, which was horrendous. But it will be engraved in my head forever. That's why I have this really weird knowledge of old music.
See, my dad was old country, so it was Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings.
George?
Yeah. Well, no, more Hank. It wasn't. Hank. This was, 70s, early 80s country. So it was like Hank and Willie and Waylon and the boys and all that.
I got from the Rat Pack.
Oh, nice.
Way back to like the when it was the orchestras and the big band, and the big swing era and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He ran the gamut.
No, my dad was conflicted because he hated hippies, but he loved Willie Nelson, so he didn't know what to do. He'd be like, "These damn hippies." Whoa, well, Willie gets a pass. It's fine if he wants to be a hippie and smoke weed.
That would be stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. By the way, we love our listeners. Immediately when we ask, it's several people going, it was Tommy Boy. When they were calling from the walkie-talkie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Tommy Boy's a great movie, by the way.
Indeed. One of my favorites. It's one of those ones like my wife sits down and makes me watch Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
Whatever it's on, I make her watch Tommy Boy. And when I say make, she leaves the room. So I just watch it. But that don't make her do anything.
Favorite team, the Yankees.
Yeah. So good, man. Rest in peace to Chris Farley.
Madison, Wisconsin native.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that there's a big guy from Wisconsin.
Shocking, right? Yeah, there's not many of those.
No, not at all.
Good Lord, Wikipedia, find out.
Hey, before we really get into the show.
Sure.
I wanted to... Is Pokemon still a thing?
The app picked up some steam. They developed an app, Pokemon Go.
That was a year ago.
But the game, I don't think that has any.
No, like people are people still? I don't know the lingo, so don't make fun of me, guys. Are people still like trapping Pokemons or catching?
Like showing up at Discovery Green and the Rockets games where trying to capitalize on it?
Yeah, I ask, and I don't know what they're called. Is it a hotspot? What is it? Is it a, like, if you get a bunch of...
There was an intern we had that was all about it. She could tell you every like little thing about
I know
it.
There's a word for it. If there's a Pokemon at a specific location, it's like, oh, that's a dork den or something. I don't know what it's called. It's I don't know, but...
To use your line, don't get me lying, but I remember that everybody was trying to capitalize on it. I have no idea what they call it.
Oh, well, I'm sure there are some nerds that listen to this show that would be able to validate where it is. But I bring it up because this is the second time now I've been driving to work, and I cut through one of the neighborhoods. So I exit Woodway, and then I go, I cut through Tanglewood.
Okay.
So I go down Tanglewood Road, which is a two-lane road that cuts through, I'm guessing, Tanglewood. Is that a subdivision close by here?
I think it's Tangle Wild.
Yeah, it is. It is. But the
road is Tanglewood.
I think you're
okay,
right,
yep. It's between Chimney Rock and Sage. Mm-hmm. But on Tanglewood, right towards the end, I believe it's Fieldwood Drive and Tanglewood Road. It's a Dork Den or whatever they're called, where there's a Pokemon. There's I've seen now twice in the last 3 weeks a gaggle of nerds. Is that what you call like a group of nerds? Is it a gaggle of nerds?
I don't know if you'd call them a gaggle.
No?
But you wouldn't call them what we call the media scrums either.
What do you call like a group of nerds that are besides science class? Like, is it like, I don't know what
Geek
it's
squad?
Called.
Geek squad is a fit. That's
there
great.
You go. There yeah, go. There's a squad of geeks.
Right.
Okay. There's a, for the last like 2 weeks out of the last three, I've seen a squad of nerds catching Pokemons. They're just standing in a circle facing each other with their phone. They're not looking at each other. They're not talking. They're just swiping up on their phones repeatedly. And that's when I was like, oh, I don't know, but I know
so
that has something
up
to
on
do.
The phone captures the Pokemon?
You're like, pew, 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 you're shooting at him or something. I don't know. Dude, don't. I don't know.
I
like girls.
I wouldn't have the slightest clue.
I like women. I don't know how Pokemon works. I don't know.
You sure it wasn't speed dating and they were just going as quick as they can to the next picture?
That's left and right. Oh. I don't know. I think when you're going up, you're trying to catch a Pokemon or shoot a Pokemon. I don't
know.
Your
answers will be forthcoming. I have no doubt.
But anyways, if you're a big time Pokemon dork and you want to get your squad out there,
wouldn't
Fieldwood
Jong
Drive.
And Michael have the answer to that?
Jong, I think
he
was
probably
really
a good person to ask.
Yeah,
is he here already?
Yeah,
he's been
we'll
here
have today. To ask Jong about the technology that is Pokemon. But I thought it had gone away. I thought it was kind of like
I did
you know,
too.
It was gone.
Although I will say this, everyone capitalized. The Rockets were all over that.
Oh yeah,
they did that. Come to the games and meet us here in the park to all the find your Pokemon
all
deal,
dork out or whatever it is. I want to know what the thing is called. I don't. It's like it's not like a gym. I know that that's a thing though. There's like a Pokemon gym.
I'll find out.
It's so ridiculous. I don't know. But anyways, if you're really into Pokemon and you're still out there doing that, and you've given up trying to find a mate, Tanglewood Road and Fieldwood Drive, go there. There's a Pokemon. And apparently it's popular. I don't know if it's like a Crown Prince or whatever the hell you'd call a high-end Pokemon.
You get me.
But I've seen at least 10 people there in the last 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. There was five today by themselves. Five virgins converged on this. They got their squad and they were catching.
So according to intern Trey, it's Pokemon Gym, but everybody validated it afterwards.
I don't care what he says.
You're bitter at him.
I am.
He was like,
shout out to Saltgrass, by the way, for bringing us lunch today.
Did you have some?
You know what? They even went off the menu for me. Yeah.
Oh, hell.
I got a whole bunch of grilled shrimp with a salad and some asparagus. It was wonderful.
Did you know they were coming and got here early just for that? Because I got nothing.
So I forgot, but I got a pro tip on the way home last night. Hey, by the way, Saltgrass is going to be here.
Well,
just wanted to let
you
know.
Thanks for the heads up, Joel. I see where
but
the
I
team
forgot
lies.
All about it. And
I,
then Nick
I,
and
know.
I
brought my lunch.
I did too.
And so when I saw it, I'm like, okay, I'll have
yep,
a steak.
I brought my
you
lunch
know what?
Too.
I was lamenting in the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge Facebook page about gaining the 8 pounds back I lost.
You weren't lamenting. So, you were pissing people
so
off.
So I don't mind because I brought my healthy gourmet dinner and I ate it because I'm disciplined and I didn't eat the salt grass, even though it looked and smelled delicious. What pisses me off more than you not telling me that there was going to be salt grass so that I could go ahead and just be like, what's one more day off the wagon? What pisses me off is all the interns got Saltgrass and I didn't. And then Trey wants to talk mess. He's out there talking trash to me.
What'd he say?
Well, so I walked by and I was like, all of you got? So let me get this straight. All the interns got steak? And he comes walking in the door. He was like, I could hear the butt hurt all the way out there.
Oh! Trey shots
and
fired.
I was like, well, Trey, that's why you have pork chops for titties. That's why.
Because I heard that part. Nick and I both heard that one. Yeah.
You're the last one that needs to be shooting shots at me, bro. Like, you don't.
So
like,
I walked out there afterwards and I said, hey, Trey, did I hear you had pork chops? And he's like, no, but that was kind of a D move by Barry.
Oh, was it? See, Trey's the kind of guy that he'll call you out and then immediately, like, he wants to make you look bad and then be like, I'm sorry, that was inappropriate. But he knows he's already said it, like, you can't unring the bell. So he got his shot off and then he apologizes. Nah, I don't play that. I know what your game is, Trey.
Trey's hilarious.
I mean, he's all right.
I had him squirming at best. I came back in, and he was on the phone, on his cell phone,
yeah.
And he was acting like it was like an important kind of a private call, but he didn't get up off the desk. So I pulled a chair right up next to him, and I sat next to him. And so then he kind of casually tried to get up and walk down the hall, and he's got so much freaking hair, he has no idea. I'm right on his tail behind him listening, and he's like, oh, hey, yeah, that was kind of a call that I had to take personally. And I was like, really? I didn't know. And then I go, what's – he was all the whole way down the hallway, he did what my sister used to do. When we were growing up, twirl their hair, like a nervous habit they would do.
Uh-huh.
He's twirling his hair, phone in the other hand, just taking up the whole hallway. And I was like, what's the twirl thing, Trey? He's like, oh, yeah, I don't know why I do that, but I do.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he has a penis, but if he didn't, he might be Little Orphan Annie. I'm pretty sure.
Ain't nothing little about that orphan, no matter where he comes
You're right.
from.
He might be Big Orphan
there
Annie.
There you go.
That's true.
He might be Big Orphan Franny.
But Big Orphan Tranny.
I was going there next and thought not, and then I figured out you'll finish
that
deal.
Yeah. It's called a Pokestop. It's called a Pokestop, and someone suggested a group of people at a Pokestop is a Virgin Army. And they said you throw balls at it.
I bet you do.
Yeah. So there you go.
Hey, Nick, we could call that your next two-stepping adventure on a Saturday night.
It's a Virgin Army throwing balls at a Pokestop.
I don't know about the Virgin Army part.
Nick will just show up and some chick will walk up to two-stepping and go, I'm just here on a Pokestop.
Somebody said, yeah, Barry, Pokemon's still huge. As a matter of fact, yesterday was World Pokemon Day.
I thought it was Pancake Day.
That's what I thought. I never did. That's the first I've heard of it, so it can't be that big.
I told you the listeners I've heard would of have pancakes. I knew we would get answers.
Yeah.
All right, way back Wednesday, the year 1999. Who's first? Nick, you?
This is my list, yep.
All right, Nick is first. Hour number one, list has been posted to Twitter check it out. And we're just getting started, so feel free to join us. You know you are the suspects that make this thing work. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, and he's laughing currently, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. My girlfriend's four post bed.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Steaks and Bluetooth. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Just getting started right here in hour number one.
So somebody texted and said, it sounds like Barry is enjoying salty grass, which is, sir, you're going to win text of the day with that. Salty grass is really good. Also, remember the other day we were talking about how can you avoid being tagged in tweets, and I told you it was a keyword?
Yeah.
I stand corrected. So it wasn't a keyword, because you were just asking me if I saw the tweet about a guy that said, oh, this is Barry with a monkey, and the monkey's penis is right next to his mouth, and all that stuff. But I never saw that tweet. And here's why. There's a setting in Twitter. If you go to your settings and privacy, and you click on, I believe it's notifications, you can check a box that says mute notifications from people who don't follow you.
Which is a very cool app.
Yeah, so if people if you're not following me and you're trying to tweet at me, bro, I'm not seeing it. And that's the Rockets people. The Rockets bots, they don't follow me, but they try to tweet at me, I never get notified.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you need to check that out.
Because the Rockets bots and their own internal interns, in case you missed any part of our shows recently or the day that we actually talked about, Barry and I get tagged pretty much after every Rockets game. With another fluff the Rockets to the verge of
sad. It's pathetic.
NBA explosion.
It's literally the electronic version of a self high five.
Yep. How many are you guys getting? I get like two or three. I don't get any now.
I don't
two or
get
three
any
a night.
Now.
I get two or three a night for some guy that has like two or three friends that or followers that basically says, hey, did you guys see the beard fire again and the Rockets win their 13th?
Yep.
I mean, this team's unstoppable run is one. And I'm like, dude, I have a TV. I have the internet. I don't need you. Stop.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And tell Daryl hi, because Daryl puts people up to that.
I used to curse at him just to be mean. And then I was like, you know, this takes too much of my effort and energy.
Yes, you did.
I don't. Yeah.
Yes, you did. Because nice. That was one where you would include me, and I enjoyed it, but I would get included in the reply blasted me.
F-bombs and a-holes and just being mean as I could be, thinking, all right, at some point they're going to call me out, and I'm going to be like, aha, I knew it, see? But no one said a word yet. They just had to take it, I guess, because they didn't want to blow their cover.
Some of these guys just don't have a life outside of the watching NBA games. Because I went and – I think we both have. We went and checked some of them and checked, like, their timelines and their tweets.
It's all
NBA. It's not just Rockets.
No.
It's, like, five different teams. And then if anybody said anything to your point, if you had cussed them or said anything, then they spent, like, their next 20 tweets trying to, like, insult and degrade them. And it's like, dude, you just look like an a-hole.
Yeah, that's not good.
So with that being said, the Bots' favorite team is at it again tonight, and the luster is completely gone from this game in my mind.
Because there's no Blake
Griffin. Now, I will say
this. I'm with you.
The one interesting case, because if you don't know, the Rockets are at the Clippers tonight. They're going for 14 in a row, but Blake Griffin's not there anymore. That was a huge beef in the last game with D'Antoni, with Chris Paul. But the one guy that is not only there tonight, but he finally will play – could give a little drama to the situation. I want to see someone dump Austin Rivers on his ass.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him either. I mean, I think we've all talked about how entitled he comes off of as, so I don't know how well he's going to play, but there's a bunch of players that, you know, have some beef on the Clippers squad that have beef with the Rockets. So, I mean, who else is kind of upset? I think Montrezl Harrell, even Corey Brewer at one point had a good game against
the Lakers. And by the way, Corey Brewer, side note, just got bought out. I don't think the Rockets will be knocking on his door, but he just got bought out by the
Lakers.
Come
on, you don't need a guy that's really fast?
That was supposed to shoot
like,
threes?
Like, that's literally... what intangibles does he have? Like, what is he good at? Well, he's fast.
He finishes on the break.
What about defense? No. What about shooting? No, God, no. What about...
Didn't we have him on? We had him on at Super Bowl, and it was like a dare between us, and you asked him about his three-point shooting.
Has anyone come to you and asked you not to shoot three-pointers?
Something like that.
Because you said I wouldn't do it. Yeah, because he said I wouldn't do it. I was like, oh, I'll totally do it. That's a legit question.
And then what
And then he sat down. I was like, has anyone asked you not to shoot three-pointers since it's going so bad?
He's such a good dude. He kind of just played it off.
Like,
He's like, no, we're as a team, that's what we do. We're supposed to do it. When we have an open shot, we're supposed to take it.
Yeah, he did come off as a nice guy like that for sure.
Oh, he's a great
guy. Yeah, he did seem like a nice guy.
We interviewed Matt Fondi during the summer league when we broadcasted live from Fondi.
Yeah.
Most guys will sit down with you for a segment. He sat down with us for like a half hour.
That's cool.
He's a great dude.
At the time, that was a legitimate question, too. It wasn't just me being a smart ass. That was a legitimate question.
Well, he was struggling.
It'd be like if I asked Ryan Anderson that now. I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, Barry's just being a dick. No, that's a legit question to ask a guy
on this team. To the point of being a problem that's noticed when Kurt Lowe was actually talking
about it. Oh, God.
He had pointed it out, you know, Corey Brewer.
I haven't seen any of his tweets.
I was about to say, I haven't heard from Kurt Lowe in forever.
Why. Oh, I have.
I think I'm still blocked.
He's still calling him Westbrook. I said, you know what I noticed? When Westbrook just almost single-handedly took out the Warriors the other night, And played great. Why don't I hear about your Westbrook comments then? And he just kind of chuckled it off and tried to throw a Bible verse at me or something.
Okay. I'm not blocked anymore.
Really?
Well, so I typed in Kurt Lowe,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if this is a fake account.
He's got a picture in a green shirt.
Yeah,
that's him.
And then Dallas Cowboys, you can make a fake account. Like I could start a new account on Twitter and download all your pictures and make it look like your account. That's not a problem. Nope, different account.
Okay.
Yeah, see, but this one just says...
He's got someone copying it? He's that big?
It's probably him doing it, to be honest with you. It's
one of
probably,
his 1,600 followers?
He's going all Kevin Durant on it, creating some bots. Well, that way you can follow yourself and it boosts your numbers, I'm guessing. But no, he blocked me. And so this one is unblocked, so I doubt that it's the same person. Anyway, sorry, I got us off track. That's my bad.
It's all right. Speaking of that, too, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, but Skip Bayless was being Skip Bayless again the other day, and he called the brow Anthony Davis overrated. And so the Pelicans account on Twitter decided to show him the 51-point game that he put up the other night and said, this is from our overrated guy. And they started going back and forth, and then... He, of course, was doing blatant and shameless plugs for his show by tuning in for why he's overrated. Tune in why I still say he's overrated. And the kicker was at the end, after the Pelicans account kept countering it and taking shots at him, they actually posted a picture of Davis dunking, and they superimposed his Bayless's head on a Knicks player who was getting dunked on.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where Bayless was still trying to say he was overrated, and the Pelicans account came back with, "Don't forget to log into your burner account, Water Pistol Pete Jr.," which was his handle. And by the way, they said, and your other account on Facebook, in which you complimented yourself on Twitter and then got caught because the intern forgot to close it out.
You got deranted.
And they found out, and he got deranted, right. He had sent himself a message that said, "Skip, you are the man. Love the new show on FS1. And
that's so
kudos
funny
to the Pelican account, because they drilled him. Can't stand Skip Bayless.
Now, all that said,
yep,
where do you stand on the statement? Do you think that Anthony Davis is overrated?
I don't
in
think,
the context of, I mean, statistically, he's putting up stats, right? There's no doubt.
Is he an all-star?
Yeah. I mean, his career, he's averaging 23 points, 10 rebounds, 2.3 blocks a game. So, but in the context of what Skip said, which is, if you look at the results of the Pelicans, they've never won with this dude. Is he overrated?
No.
Okay.
Because as a player, you can only do so much. And I don't think the Pelicans, up until this year when they got Boogie, or whatever.
Well, it was last year.
Last year they got Boogie Cousins. They're never going to see what happened. They're playing very well again right now. But at the same time, he's never really gotten a whole lot of help around him. And just getting Boogie Cousins isn't enough either, because you can cram the lane on guys like that. You need some guards and some wings. But I think you can't dispute the fact that his numbers from an all-star perspective, from you know, a regular season perspective, individually, are fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top 10 guy, right? Mm-hmm. He has an impact on the game. Yep. And so, yeah, I don't think as an individual, he can certainly fill it up, and his stat line is going to look sexy. But from a results perspective, I don't know if it's necessarily fair, because you can say the same thing about other guys that didn't have the help, and then they got the help, because he got the help last year, and they got worse.
Well, but I said he only got Cousins. I mean, now if you look at
But what was the other cat that was with him? Who am I not thinking of?
Oh, Omar Asik is the post-presence.
No.
He didn't really have anybody.
Mirotić they got this year.
There was another. Damn it, I can't think of it now. But they had. Where are they at right now? They're sixth, seventh?
They're in it. They're in the bottom half of the West, but they're actually a playoff team right now.
They are sixth.
Yep. Which isn't bad, because we talked about how crammed up it is. So again, and this is without Boogie Cousins, he's maintained. He's got them playing at a very high level. But overall, and I don't know that they've ever made the playoffs with Anthony Davis. Maybe once. I'm not even sure what their track record is. I'm just saying, you can't say that a player is overrated when he is putting up the numbers he's putting up. I mean, look, it's like saying when the Rockets crapped the bed when it was just James Harden, and then it was James Harden and Dwight Howard, but James was still putting up monster numbers. Was he overrated? He was still in the MVP race, finished second. It's just that the team was somewhat of a disappointment.
I was trying to make a case for Skip being right, but you have a valid point, so I'm not going to argue.
I mean, it might be a situation, too, where he might get more of the blame, because he was kind of the star for a while there. And when you're not doing well, and you're like a quarterback in the NFL, he
right.
gets all the blame. When the team's not doing well, he gets most of the credit. When the team is doing well,
yep.
But well, I mean,
that was kind of my point, because that's how James was, right? Like, everyone was like, oh, Harden's not, he's not an MVP, he's not this, he's not that, he's not winning anything. He didn't have a lot of help around him.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that Harden isn't good and he was overrated.
Well, he had some help sometimes.
And at that point,
but we sure did talk a lot about it.
You would find someone at their flagship station that would basically call him an overrated MFing stat stuffer at that point. But God, he's great now. All right. Hey, we'll continue to move on. Don't worry about it, because we got you covered till 4 o'clock. Then Fred, AJ, Jung, and the Blitz have you covered till 7. It's the usual suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel, ESPN 97.5. On the fire,
and it burns like me for you. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the Usual Suspects, half hour deep in the three-hour extravaganza is Barry, Nick, and myself back for the duration. I do want to see Austin Rivers knocked on his ass tonight. Yep. It's a national TV game, so I hope somebody decides to do it. I know that James is already who. You know, he's trying to play it off like we don't even know who that guy is. Whether it's in the secret hallway or not, I'd like to see it happen, and I'd like to have someone in the vicinity to tell us about it, because as much luster is gone now between the war that was with these two teams, he's still there, and I want to see someone do something about it.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings just because of how, but you had, to me, it was more egregious with
Blake,
and, I mean, Beverly was talking a lot of smack.
But he's out for the year.
I know. But that's another guy that, like, you're out for the year. I know that's your thing. And we've already discussed that when Pat Beverly is on your team, he's the best. And when he's not, he's the worst. Mm-hmm. But, dude, you're sitting on the bench in street clothes. Why are you talking so much smack? I get it. It's the former team. But I just feel like if you can't get out there and back it up and take a, you have to run through a pick after talking so much crap, maybe you shouldn't. Because now Austin Rivers is going to have to run through a P.J. Tucker pick. He's going to have to run through what?
This is what we've talked about when we said in the past. Yeah, I was going to say in the past, we didn't have the hitman, the goon, the guy that takes care of business. This will give you a good little telltale illustration of what you got with the Rockets this year. If someone does drill him, like Tucker's pick the other night,
yep.
So it doesn't have to be egregious. But someone needs to give him just a little extra love on some contact tonight to let him know, hey, bro, what you did, and because of the fact that you weren't even playing, we're not taking lightly.
If I were taking bets, like if I gave you the Rockets roster,
yep,
and one pick on that roster as to who would be the one that would retaliate, maybe, you know, with the, like you said, the shoulder shimmy or whatever, mm-hmm. Who are you taking?
I'll let you guys go first. I got two. I haven't decided which one.
I have to pick one Rocket that will retaliate first.
One that's
going to
take a shot at Austin Rivers tonight.
I don't think it's going to be PJ Tucker, as much as I am tempted to say.
Okay. Who you got?
I don't know.
I think mine might be a bit of a sleeper, but Chris Paul.
They don't like each other.
And let me tell you, Chris Paul got a little nasty the other night, and Chris Paul has a mean streak in him, and
He plays angry,
yep. And
he was one of those
guys.
Upset.
He was one of those guys that they said made the trip to the other locker room. So it wouldn't surprise me in the least if it gets a little chippy out there. If Rivers, is he playing tonight? By the way, have we confirmed?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. I mean, we haven't confirmed, but he's been playing.
It's not going to surprise me in the least. At some point, I would even venture to say, if Rivers got on the floor at some point in the middle of the game when Chris is supposed to be out, that he's not like, hey, let me get in there for a couple minutes.
There have been articles.
It wouldn't surprise
about the. There's no love lost between those two guys.
Yeah.
Now it would be a complete daddy move for Doc to sit him tonight.
Oh yeah.
That would be, and he would just be asking for it, because if he's protecting Austin from that game, believe me, the rest of the league would be showering him with insults the rest of the year.
So,
but I could see that happen.
So if that was the draft and I just had the number one pick, who are you taking?
I'm taking PJ Tucker.
Okay.
Gerald Green.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Gerald Green really wants to be, I mean, that's just my underdog pick. I don't know for sure if this is going to happen, but he wants to solidify his spot on this roster so bad.
Good call. Remember, yeah, Nick, now, to Barry's point, but remember who else went to the locker
room?
Trevor Ariza. Probably got
that
punished.
That would be my second pick.
Well, that was Ariza. My pick, except for the fact that they've talked since.
Yeah,
if you remember, they talked it over on the phone and they talked it out. Otherwise, Trevor would have been my number one.
Yeah.
But I think PJ's the guy. But it's a great call on Gerald Green, because you remember, D'Antoni didn't play him after he was suspended, Gerald Green, because he did go into the other locker room. So he was trying to make a statement that I'm with these guys and I've got their back. So it's a good call on your part. But I also think that because Joe Johnson's there, Gerald Green doesn't need to be doing anything else that might push him farther down the bench or in the favoritism of Mike D'Antoni. If he does something else, D'Antoni will say, now you've given me every reason not to.
Exactly. So he might be filtered. Now it makes my pick feel, because if he really didn't play the following game,
little, right?
Because D'Antoni, yeah, was trying to discipline him, uh-huh, or make a point, uh-huh, he might be a more filtered Gerald Green.
And he's been struggling to get on the court now.
And when he does get on the court, he gets on my last nerve because he just starts jacking from the get-go and hasn't made anything. He's pulling everything from everywhere, off balance, not even warmed up, and thank God some of them hit the back of the rim.
But well, all of his shot attempts were 3-point.
Isn't it
shot
funny?
Attempts,
isn't it
missed,
funny?
He only made one.
Isn't it funny how the tune has changed? Because at first it was like, he should be on the floor the entire time. Why is Ryan Anderson playing? Why isn't Gerald Green playing? And now we're like, whoa.
There are still
why
people.
Why are either of them playing?
But there are still people out there pushing for him to get more minutes.
That makes no sense.
It really doesn't.
He was the hot hand for a bit. He was Corey Brewer. He was this year's Corey Brewer, I guess you could say. This year's Josh Smith. They go out and they make that acquisition, and the guy comes in like a house on fire for a bit. Then they cool off, and people just don't – you're not looking at what's in front of you. You just – all you remember is, man, remember that one game? Yeah, well, that game was a long-ass time ago. He ain't playing like that anymore. He still gives you a threat. He still fits, but I see why he has cooled off, and D'Antoni has cooled off on using him. And it makes sense.
Right.
Especially when they're getting back to getting 100%.
Now, let me get your guys' opinion on this.
Okay.
Okay, because this was brought up to me last night. It was a question floated at me. People turned it into something it's not.
Uh-oh.
Including the screamer down the hallway, Patrick Creighton.
I didn't know. There's a couple now.
Well, he's...
Warner.
Well, he's... No one's louder than Pat.
Okay.
But I was asked, which team was better, the 94 Rockets or this year's Rockets? And judge it on the rules of the 90s and then the rules of today. And I really hadn't thought of it till the question was posed to me. But then in evaluating it, I was a bit surprised myself, but there was no way at the end of the day I could not circle back and say the answer to both was the 94 Rockets.
So the 94 Rockets that I'm looking at, mm-hmm. and I think that there's a few that might be missing from this list. Where the hell did it go?
Well, let me give you my real quick synopsis.
93-94 Houston Rockets roster. Okay, so it was 93-94, right? Not the 94-95.
They won them both years, but the first championship.
Yeah, Scott Brooks, Matt Bullard, Sam Cassell, Earl Cureton, Mario Elie. Oh, look, I got it right. Mm-hmm. Boom. Carl Herrera, Robert Horry, Chris Gent. Oh, wow. Vernon Maxwell, Olajuwon, Richard Petruska. Mm-hmm. Eric Riley, Larry Robinson, Kenny Smith, Otis Thorpe. Mm-hmm. So that's the that
and
was
Akeem Olajuwon.
I said Olajuwon.
Okay,
yeah, that was the lineup versus what we know today to be this Rockets team.
So the reason why I said what I said, and then I want to hear what both of you guys have to say, but I said the one main factor was Rudy was an innovator. You had a team that would be successful in today's game because you had all those 3-point shooters. So you could almost play D'Antoni's style, but play it better because you had the best player on the planet at that time because Michael was experimenting with baseball and doing his thing. And then you had a really strong but really athletic Otis Thorpe. And I thought that Vernon Maxwell would give – he does two things that Harden hates. He talks and he's physical. And he's always up in your grill.
So you're saying if they played each other, who would win?
Yeah,
the game?
That was the question that was posed to me. If it was between the 94 Rockets and this year's team, who would win in the 90s and who would win today?
It's actually a legit question, a pretty good question, because you think, well, I mean, my first thought is, well, Olajuwon, because he would dominate, but so would James Harden on the other end. But you're right. If Vernon Maxwell can shut down Jordan, not shut down, but contain Jordan, I think Vernon Maxwell might be able to help contain James Harden. Especially when you consider, you know, with Horry and his length and the perimeter defense that the Rockets could play. And
here's the thing. In the 90s, Vernon's going to get away with a lot more, and that Euro step and all that stuff to get to the line is probably not going to get called as much. Today's game would favor James a little more because they protect the player more.
I just feel like even then, so the style of offense that they ran, you're right, Rudy was an innovator, but I don't know of anyone that is as good as an offensive coach in the NBA than Mike D'Antoni.
Fair.
They both had a 3-point line. The 3-point line is pretty similar. I don't even think it's changed, right? Mm-hmm. Weren't they talking about moving it in at one point or moving it out or something like that?
It did move up at one point, though, didn't it?
Yeah, and then they moved it back.
It had been moved once, but it's always been longer than the college line and 23-plus feet.
Okay.
So I guess the point is it wasn't like there wasn't a 3-point shot to be had back then, but they didn't utilize it like it's utilized today. You can say that the game has changed, but again, Rudy, yeah, he innovated back then, but it was still an inside out game. This is not the same. And I think that whether they played back then or they played now, if it was coach versus coach and team versus team, I don't know if that Rockets team in 94 could score with this Rockets team. But I also don't know if this Rockets team could defend the old Rockets team.
You're telling me Clint Capela's slowing down Dream?
No, you're going to tell me that that defense, the perimeter defense, is going to be able to contain Chris Paul, and the 3-point shooting that with where the Ariza and everybody else, the way that this team fills it up, plus Harden, plus the pick and roll, plus the I mean, this
I'm telling
team,
you, yes.
Okay, I don't know. I'm telling
Robert
you,
Robert Horry on Trevor Ariza advantage 94, in my opinion. Sam Cassell and Chris Paul.
Wait. But they play both ways. You don't think Ariza can cover Robert Horry?
Oh, I mean, I can think he
call
can
it
cover
a wash.
Him.
I would say
no,
call it a
I
wash.
I think Horry ends up with more points
than Ariza.
Yeah,
that's tough. I don't know, but the stat that scared me because last
then you're not
year.
Gonna, so if well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean
go
to
ahead,
cut
no,
you
go
off.
Ahead.
But that brings up my point. Like that's the whole reason what makes James Harden so good in this offense. As if nobody's going to collapse on him, and he's running the pick and roll with the ability to be able to find Ariza in the corner, and you're telling me Ori's not going to sag off and play that defense?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think Harden one-on-one could take anybody.
It depends on how it's officiated.
He was laying
are
up on Rudy
about
Gobert.
Now, are we talking about today's game,
Gobert
or are we talking about in the 90s?
Either one.
No way. In the 90s, they're going to let you physical the hell out
of him. Two nights ago, he's getting buckets at the basket on Rudy Gobert. His stuff should have been in the 15th row. And he somehow found a way to get up and under Rudy Gobert and get buckets. I'm telling you, dude. I think people sleep on James Harden's ability 101 to get to the rim
thing
and
is
score
guarding
on
the rim,
anyone.
Rudy Gobert is one thing. Hakeem Olajuwon, totally different.
Well, the thing is, but that's the stat that I wanted to bring because last year they finished sixth in points in the paint, the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Right now they're sitting like – they're like one of the worst teams in points in the paint. And so when you consider Hakeem Olajuwon and Otis Thorpe in the down low, there's – maybe the Rockets may not need to score points in the paint against a 94 squad and still have success from behind the three-point line. That's the
great
only thing
point.
That made me scared about picking the 94 Rockets.
Because you basically neutralize the fact that if you're not in the paint, if you're out shooting threes, Olajuwon is neutralized. His defense means nothing.
But Maxwell on the perimeter is a beast. I mean, he could frustrate the
and
hell
Robert
out of you.
And Robert Horry long and could guard the perimeter as well. You've got a lot
it's
of guys.
Tough, man.
And the bench is the other thing where I thought about the fact that you've got as many three-point shooters on the 94 team's bench as this year's team's bench because of the fact that Mario could shoot it, and whether it's Kenny or Sam or Bullard or the guys, you know, the guys that you had on that team could shoot it like the guys you could bring in off of D'Antoni's Rockets this year. It's a great question because I think
it really is.
I don't
there's
think
no
there's
definitive
a definitive answer.
And we
right.
can argue until yeah. 4 o'clock comes
yeah.
around.
But it was neat. So I just wanted to get your guys'
yeah,
opinion
that
on
is
that.
Cool. Somebody said Eric Riley still plays poker in Houston. Awesome guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Yeah, and he was there when with Rudy to present Hakeem Olajuwon in the Houston Sports Hall of Fame at the awards the other night.
Somebody just texted the show. Wow, did 97.5 just say something good about Harden? Wow, no, Barry did. Nobody here is hating on Harden.
I've hey, guys,
plenty
I've
of good
said
things.
Many times, James Harden is the regular season MVP. I even said it on sportsmap.com. Yay, me! Okay, there we go.
But I do think he doesn't get enough credit for his ability to score on anyone on the planet, past, present, or future.
I just don't think in the 90s he would get away with the same stuff.
Because
they let him maul.
I think it just has become.
I almost said a bad word.
Listen,
they let him maul the crap out of people back
but
then.
But it's become in vogue to pick on Harden and to poo-poo his accomplishments and what he can do and what he's done because he's been a bridesmaid
he's
and never a bride.
He's the best offensive player in the game right now.
I get it. But he didn't just develop into that. He's
didn't
almost
say that.
Dude, he's going to win the MVP yep. this year, and he was runner-up two of the last 3 years.
I wrote about it. I know.
I'm just saying. I think it's just become in vogue to be like, yeah, but Harden, but.
I'm just talking about from a team perspective, answering the question. Because Patrick Creighton turned it into, but who would really win between the Bulls and the Rockets when MJ did? I don't want to hear all that
no.
crap. That'll make me pull the rest of my hair
that's
out.
That's a, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with a whole lot more. Just hour number one
this is a
of
stupid
a three-hour
song.
Show as Nick went with Mamba number whatever. You're disqualified.
Five and he loses.
You're disqualified.
Your list is terrible.
Hey, Lou Vega, you're disqualified. Siri screwed you this
yeah.
week.
Yeah. Your list sucks so bad.
We'll be back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man. ESPN.
97.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's go.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I didn't check Twitter police or the text brigade, but I was wrong and right. It was Benny Goodman, the song Barry and I were talking about that was remade or redone and swinging to the oldies.
Yeah.
But it was in the mood, not in the swing,
in
but
the
close
mood.
Enough.
Okay.
My dad chiseled that into my brain.
Well, that was a long time ago. You're forgiven. All is forgiven, sir.
And I appreciate that.
Speaking of texts, I think the 94 team wins. But another thing is how far behind the three-point line Harden's range is makes it difficult to guard him. And then Scott Deer Park loved Barry, you're full of crap. Maxwell would frustrate the hell out of Harden. Pretty sure I mentioned that. Pretty sure I mentioned how
I
Maxwell would play it against Jordan. I don't think anybody that's ever watched basketball in this town gets that. That's not a secret that anyone didn't know. But guess what? Jordan also scored on him. It's not like he shut him down and he never scored. But when you talk about a guy of that skill level, and I'm certainly not trying to compare James Harden to Michael Jordan, but as far as a scorer goes, you're not going to shut James Harden down.
And you got to remember, a lot of these times, like, teams play each other 2 to 4 times a year, and then they learn from each other, and then the better team ends up being better because they know how to adjust and they know what they needed to do to beat that team.
Which is why Popovich doesn't play as nice in the regular season.
Yeah. Now, here's a good question. Head-to-head coaching-wise, who you got? Rudy,
I got Rudy.
Or Mike D'Antoni?
I got Rudy. You're right about everything you said about D'Antoni's offense. I just think all around, and because we said he's an innovator, because he wasn't afraid to listen to his players to learn things that he hasn't seen from the sidelines and make adjustments, and with Carroll Dawson as his number one assistant and the way they scheme defense too, I got Rudy.
I would say Keith Jones, but he's been there for both. He's been there forever.
But he was not with the championship
team. I know, I'm just saying.
It was Ray Melchiori back then.
It seems like he's been around. Since then, Keith Jones, I mean, like, it's going to be
Jones
weird.
With the Clippers when the Rockets got
it. It's going to be weird to look on the sidelines one day and not see Keith Jones out there as their trainer.
The fashion plate. The GQ man that he is,
Keith Jones. Yeah. And I don't know why I made Scott Deer Park sound like your John McClane, but that's just the voice I gave him.
He doesn't really call in that much. I totally forgot how Scott and Deer Park sounds like. I don't even know.
Weird.
He's going to be calling now.
Sounds really weird.
Okay,
sounds like he doesn't know his stuff when it comes to the Rockets. I'll tell you that much. Anthony Davis was billed as a guy that was the next big thing, hasn't lived up to it. There's that.
Okay.
And then someone wanted to bring up the catch. It's official. Dez caught the ball versus Green Bay, so the NFL screwed Dallas for a chance to play the Seahawks championship game. Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. Joel said they still would have lost.
Yep.
So
did others.
That's already been settled.
So there you have it.
I was looking, speaking of that, I just wanted to get some of the news and notes from the NFL. I was capturing them as I was driving in. Not that I was looking at my phone while driving. I did all of this at red lights, I promise. But there were a few announcements, including Jonathan Stewart, running back of the Panthers.
Yeah, Nick and I were talking about that.
Being cut.
You realize all-time leading rusher in Panthers history.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I know they haven't been around that long, but I didn't think he was around that long.
Oh, yeah. Because
they had, what's his name, that was with the Steelers 2 years ago, that was the guy that got a majority of the Williams, that had all the yards.
They had the thunder and lightning thing going on there. Yeah,
but who was the guy that filled in for Le'Veon Bell?
D'Angelo
Williams.
D'Angelo Williams.
That's what I was thinking. He had a lot of yards.
Matt Forte retired.
Yep.
And what was the other ones? There was a couple more. Oh, this was, I found this kind of interesting, the NFL stats thing. Since coming into the league in 2008, Forte rushed for 14,468 yards from scrimmage. Not rushed, but compiled 14,468 yards from scrimmage. The most in the NFL over that span since 2008. Found that to be interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that.
You know the next question coming, don't you?
What?
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, that's always going to be right. Mike Glennon was released by the Bears.
Yeah.
See, some of this came from Ian Rappaport. And so rather than retweeting him, I just took screenshots because I'm not giving that a-hole any love.
Yeah, but he did apologize.
I know he apologized, but he didn't apologize to you, and you're my boy. Ergo, I won't forgive him until he is
forgiven
by you. And you
did tag him on what you said,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm not going to give him any run until he comes on this show and apologizes to
you. Now,
you
brought it up.
For doing
so I'm going to carry this over.
Well, hold on.
To
let me get the rest of my news out of the way because it was one more. The Lions tagged pass rusher Ziggy Ansah as a franchise tag.
Good for them.
There you go.
He's going to get a lot of money.
Yep.
Because of the Rappaport situation that we mentioned that we were the first to talk about and the fact that he called back in to apologize for his error. In the context of the dialogue, if you didn't catch up on it, I retweeted. I think I've retweeted it, but I'll retweet it again. But I want to get your guys' opinion on, are you good with the way the apology went down and how it all was played out? Because I got an issue after listening to the whole thing, and surprisingly, it's not with Ian Rappaport.
Okay.
So.
Well, what was it?
Well, we got to go to break. So that's what I'm
right.
saying. So after the break, yeah, let's talk about it.
Oh, we have the audio?
Because there was a deal. Yeah. I don't know if you have it, Nick, but
I'll get
it to you. Yeah. All right. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with the second hour of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, I want to take a second to tell you about Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. You still have time to get out there and grab a late lunch. If you don't make it in time, though, get out there to 1901 Taft in Midtown for dinner. Some of the best dinner you'll have in this city. I'm telling you right now, everyone that's gone out there that has heard me tell or talk about Cowboys and Indians has gotten back to me on Twitter or Facebook or whatever it's been and said how much they've enjoyed it. Instagram, they'll post and tag pictures of it and let me know that they liked it. I think you're going to like it. That's why I want you to go out and try it. The cool thing is the menu is so diverse. You can get burgers, you can get sliders, wings, standard Southern comfort food, right? Chicken fried steak, stuff like that. They've got healthy foods. You can get grilled chicken with rice and green beans. But they also have the Indian food, which are family recipes that Haas has perfected over time. So you can get some of the best butter chicken in Houston, if that's your thing. Lamb vindaloo, you can get that. They've got chicken curry. Tons of fusion favorites that you're going to like. One of the best things that I love out there that Joel likes and Nick likes as well, the non-quesadillas. Quesadillas made with non-bread. Right now, if you go out there and get the non-quesadillas and mention ESPN 975, you'll save 20% off of those quesadillas. Those alone are worth the trip, but the rest of the food you're just going to absolutely love. All of it delicious. All the Indian food is authentic. You can have it delivered. Let's say you can't make it tonight. You got stuff to do at the house. Go ahead and get on Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub. Any of those will deliver Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen to your door. Full service bar, TVs, tons of reasons to get out there. And that doesn't even include the delicious food. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI 713 on Facebook. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.